But it's great to be together. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks again for Augie and Sarah and our worship team. That was awesome. Victor and the slow jazz that we get to enjoy. That's pretty awesome. The Alexanders are in Wisconsin today, so be praying for them. They're hanging out with their family there. I know they were excited. Hannah was excited to see Grandma, so that was pretty cool. Augie mentioned Brian Craig in his song that we were singing there, and just thinking about those words that he's kind of living out now, that he's getting manna in the morning. If you don't know him, he was diagnosed with brain cancer a few months ago and is kind of blessings every day, manna in the morning, you know, heading towards home. And it's just amazing. It was really special. A couple weeks ago, we had our spring meetings for a lot of the International Church of Christ leadership, and he was able to be there for one of the days to lead worship for everybody all day. And he's kind of been a little bit of the song leader for our churches over the years. And it was just pretty amazing. We're singing like that song, and like he's crying, and like everyone in the audience is crying, and we're just like sharing in this amazing moment. You know, I heard he's actually doing really well in his ministry there, that he's thinking of being able to work part-time as a minister now. He's still feeling well enough to serve. So it's pretty awesome. Keep him in your prayers there, but I thank you for mentioning that. That was really cool. And, you know, last week we were blessed to be hosted by Martha's Village and Kitchen. And thank you for all of you guys who were there. And it was just such a grateful time, you know. And one of the people that were there was so excited to be there. And a friend of mine who was there, and he's like, you know, the greatest thing about it is just that I couldn't tell who was a resident and who was part of your church. Like, everybody was just, like, mixed together, and it was just really a special time. So thank you guys. And that was probably the greatest Easter egg hunt of all time. Usually when you're at Easter egg hunts, it's like, oh, you know, just take 5 eggs or everybody gets 10 eggs. I mean, everybody had like a full bucket of eggs. It was like 30 eggs each. One of the teen boys got pretty excited, and he actually had 2 full buckets of eggs. And his dad made him give half of them away. But, you know, it was just like such a great time. Probably my highlight of the entire day was Leilani got out there, Aaron and Aaron Stephanie's daughter. She got out there, got 1 egg, and just sat down. And I was just like, if we could all be so content. So it was just a special time. I know Donald and Paige were sharing that some of the people remembered them from serving last time, and you know, Peggy as well, and so they got to serve again. That was pretty cool, Peggy Brock. So that was really awesome. And kind of these, every time we go there, I almost have this expectation that God's going to move, which sounds kind of funny to say, right? That every time you go to church, that God's going to move, right? That's kind of what it should be. But every time I go there, I feel like he's going to maybe move a little bit in an extra way. And so last time, a lot of us met this family from Afghanistan with the husband and wife, and they had the 5 kids. And he was a civil engineer in Afghanistan, and now he's just like one of the guys at Home Depot trying to get a couple odd jobs. And it was really cool to follow them, and they got placed in their own apartment, and we still kind of stay in touch through text, and it was just cool. He was just like, man, you guys are my friends, you know. So he just says hi to all of you as his friends, you know, that he's in this foreign country, and that was really a special moment. And so this past time was no different, that I met a friend there, and, you know, it had some tough times, and he's about the same age as my son, you know. So it was kind of like, oh man, you know, what a tough spot that this is somebody's son that's kind of unhoused. And you know, we had breakfast yesterday, and just hearing his story, and you know, I don't want to give you his name because it'll probably be at church, but just pray for him. really tough family situation and just looking for hope. And, you know, kind of in the middle of our breakfast, he just puts his head down and just starts crying. And just to have somebody or just have hope. It was just like to have some hope. And it was like heartbreaking. I was really uncomfortable, didn't know what to do. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to give you a moment here. And it was just really a special time. And so it kind of got me on this quest ever since yesterday. I'm on this prayer quest for a travel trailer. I'm kind of praying that God will give us a travel trailer for him and his buddy to live in until they can get on their feet. Because it's hard, you know, and a lot of you maybe are more familiar with this, but it's, you know, you live out in the, you're unhoused, so you can't take a shower. You can't take a shower. You can't get a job. You don't have anywhere to sleep safely. You know, so it's kind of this cycle. He eats at Martha's, but there's no, you know, kind of that whole thing. So I was like, man, if he could have at least a safe place to live, then maybe that could break that for him. So I'm praying for that. If that's on your heart, mind, or whatever, I'll just throw that out there. And thank you for listening to my story here anyway. So after Holy Week, I went out. It was an amazing week. It was kind of an exhausting week. So I took a 24-hour trip out to Landers. So shout out to all my high desert people out here. And it was just me and my dog. And I got some time with God, listened to a book, just sat by the most amazing little fire and got to visit the Easter cave that we recorded our COVID sermon like 3 years ago. That was probably my favorite Easter moment ever. And so it was just a special time to be with God and kind of get recharged. And hopefully you're getting time. It was cool to hear Monica with her spring break getting time to get recharged and make friends and hang out with her friends. And so hopefully we're getting time to do that. I wanted to, before we get started with the prayer here, I wanted to just let you know this week we're having midweek all together here in the fellowship hall, and it's always a great time together to look at scripture, to fellowship. This week we're having like an extra special time together that we're going to talk about our family vision for the church. We're going to talk about staffing for the church and future of the church stuff. So I just want to encourage you, maybe that you don't always able to make it, but if you're, this would be a good one not to miss, just to put it that way. So we're excited to be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday to worship together. And I'm going to pray for the rest of the sermon, but I also want to pray for Sandra Hernandez's dad, who had knee replacement. He's 89 years old, I heard. He had knee replacement recently, and today he's in the ER for something else. So just kind of a lot of those complications. We'll pray that he can be healed completely and that she can go get to see him, because she's part of her ankle injury that she can't really drive right now. So hopefully she'll be able to drive too. So let's pray and we'll kind of continue. Father, we do. We just thank you that we can come to you to serve a risen Savior. God, we're thank you that we can have hope in any situation. I do want to bring my friend before you from Martha's that I was talking about. I want to pray for Sandra's continued healing and also her dad, God, that he can be healed and get out of the hospital and be 100% healthy. Help her to be able to visit him really soon. And just pray for this time in your word, God, that you can open up our hearts and minds and ears to be able to hear what you have to say. I pray you get me out of the way so that you can speak to us, God. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll turn over to John chapter 20. And I'm going to kind of read through verse 31, and then we'll kind of go back and talk through each section here. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples. Hold on a second. Here we go. I think Richard's doing that. Thank you. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's amazing, this passage after Jesus rose from the dead. This is actually the very first day. And then the second scene is kind of the next week. So it's kind of the first two, first days of the week here. And on the first day, he already appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she went back and told everybody she saw Jesus. They still didn't see Jesus, so they still didn't quite get it. He showed himself to Peter. He showed himself to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And now they are all together, and it says that they're there with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Right? That sounds about right. When your master gets killed and you're one of his guys or girls, then you're like, hey, they're coming after me next. But they're sitting there, they're afraid. And that seems to be a theme. After the resurrection, they're still afraid. We saw last week that he appeared to when the two women saw the angel, they ran away and they were still afraid. And here is their moment where their fears kind of turn into joy. And I think that's probably a metaphor for all of us, that we carry around a lot of fears. Right, we think about all the bad things that are going to happen and all the things that are that because one thing happened and that means these five other bad things are going to happen. And you know, maybe you have that tendency. If you have that tendency, you're not alone. Right, I can be the same way. And I love that Jesus is there and he's there to bring peace. My peace I give you, and my joy I bring to you. And it says there that they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And you can imagine going from, he's dead, is it really him? And now we're overjoyed that he's alive again. And then I love this because Jesus continues to show them, even at the Last Supper, there's kind of a few flashbacks in this scene to the Last Supper in John 16. He says, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. So they're in the middle of grieving, and he's like, don't worry, this is going to get better. And when it does, no one will ever take away your joy. And I think that's a promise to us, that whatever fears we have, whatever concerns, that he promises us a joy that no one can take away. Because he conquered death, and we can no longer fear of the ultimate fear that people have. Amen? Amen? From fear to joy. And then he continues. He doesn't really leave the room, but he still says, peace be with you again. It's kind of a weird thing. Usually you say that when you... I think that was the greeting, right? So he already said hello, and then he said, peace be with you. And he said, okay, I need to give you more peace now because there's something else coming. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And we can look at that kind of from our lens and be like, oh, that's really cool. Like, he's just sending the disciples and they're going to go out and they're going to go from Jerusalem to Samaria to all nations. And that's going to be like amazing. And then we're going to have brothers and all sisters all around the world. And I don't know that that's exactly what they would have heard at that moment, because they were sending Jesus and they saw everything that just happened to Jesus. And he's like, guess what? Now you get to do the same thing. I don't know about that. That's kind of like, I'm going to go to the cross too? And you'll be raised, but yeah, that's kind of the plan here, that you're all going to have to carry your crosses. And maybe that's why he wants to give them a little extra peace. And then not only that, he says he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. That God doesn't just send us out by ourselves, that he gives us the power to go with us. He gives us the Spirit to live inside of us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to help us, to comfort us, even to help us pray when we don't even know what to pray for. That he gives us this gift because we need it. And then he goes on to say, if you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, you're not forgiven. And I don't really have an answer what that means. Right? There's some kind of authority that he's giving to them. Please don't leave here and start forgiving sins after church. I don't think that was our place. But there's something going on here that he's given them this power. Maybe it's the collective group of the apostles that were going to start the church. That sounds pretty good to me. But to know that we have this Holy Spirit, and we have the same Spirit that they had. And just a little bit earlier, he gives them this promise back at the Last Supper. He said, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And so you get this idea that the Father and the Son are sending the Spirit to us, and all three of them are sending us out. And I don't know, but I know we've been growing lately in the last few years in just our knowledge of the Spirit, our being in touch with the Spirit and guided by the Spirit. And you know, it's a pretty deep topic to think about the Spirit of God that is inside of us, right? So we talk to God, and yet God is inside of us, and he talks to us, and, you know, that's some deep stuff. That's a kind of a miraculous mystery. But I think if you think about God a little bit more, that it could help us, that the Spirit... Picture the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and they're all one, but they're all distinct. And if you picture them in a triangle, loving one another and respecting one another and honoring each other and being perfectly united in perfect love, someone has pictured this as them sitting at a table with an empty chair waiting for us to come and join them. Right, that there's a fellowship that they have that's not just for them, but it's opened for us. That he wants you to share in that same perfect love, respect, honor, fellowship as that he has with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And this is in, if you take that one step further in maybe a less perfect way, that he not only wants us to sit at the table, but he wants us to be able to share that love with one another, right? So we're sharing this with God, maybe like this, and then we're also sharing it in an imperfect way with one another. And if you think about your life, you probably had those times when you feel like, man, God is with us. God is here. God's in this room right now. He's done something miraculous, or he's brought about a unity or a love. And I would put it out to you that you are experiencing the Spirit in that moment. That you're experiencing that fellowship that Jesus prayed for. May they be one as we are one. Now, I don't fully understand that. But I'd like to sit out in my yard sometimes and just pray for God to talk and me listen. Because He's given us the Spirit, we can listen, we can hear Him. You know, it sounds a little kooky sometimes when we're people of the Bible. I mean, we love the Bible, right? But we need to also grow in our love for the Spirit too. And the Spirit's not going to take us anywhere that the Bible doesn't want us to go. But one of the things that hit me a few years ago was when they were asking Jesus, you know, how are we going to... He said, I'm going to go away. You'll see me later. And they're like, how are we going to find you? We don't know where you're going. And Jesus said this simple line, you already know me. You've already been with me. You've already been experiencing me. This shouldn't be a mystery to you. And it kind of hit me in that moment that, yeah, I can say that, that I know Jesus, that I know the Spirit, that God is with us, that He's with me, that I've experienced that. And I want to encourage you that you have the same Spirit. Amen. That if you say, hey, Jesus, what are we doing? What's going on? I don't know where you're going. It's like, hey, you know me. You know where we're going. You've experienced, this is not your first rodeo. You have this connection. This divine community is already in you through the Spirit. And if it's not in, if you're wondering about that and how do I connect more with the Spirit, then just talk to someone who brought you and say, man, let's walk with God together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Deep thoughts for today. In verse 24, it says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And we know that he said, hey, unless I see it, unless I put my hands in there, I'm not going to believe. I mean, you got to give it up for Thomas. I mean, he was a pretty confident fella, right? Or a pretty cynical fella, one or the other. But he just said, hey, you know what? I'm not doing it. I don't care what you guys are talking about. I'm not, unless I have that same thing, I'm out. That's pretty amazing, and I don't know if you've ever been in a place of doubt before. Anybody? Okay, I thought I was alone here for a second. But when we're in a... I think doubt and rebellion kind of go together sometimes, right? It says, be merciful with those who doubt, but sometimes we can be like, you know what? I'm done with this. Forget this. I don't care what... All right, you're so happy, you're great, God's good and everything, but I'm just like, no, that's not happening. Right? I've been in that place. You've been in that place. I've talked to some of you in that place. But that, even though they were testifying to him, he still refused. And the cool part is the next scene, if it stopped right there, it'd be a pretty depressing story, right? And we've seen people stop right there. Right? I'm done. I'm out. And for whatever reason, they're not just out of the church, but just with God. They're just like, okay, God, forget you. But that wasn't really Thomas. He had a moment. But, he stuck it through. It says, a week later, they were all together again. And can you imagine how long that week was for Thomas? Right? Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, wasn't that amazing? We saw Jesus yesterday. We saw Jesus 3 days ago. Wasn't that incredible? And him just being like, I hate you guys. I'm not doing it. Forget it. I don't care how much you say it. I don't know what he was saying, but it was probably a really long week. You know, fighting faith is difficult. Fighting God's testimony, it can be difficult when we see miracles and we're like, forget it. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that again. And yet he doubted with his friends. You know, the last few years we've kind of come up as a community, we've realized, hey, it's okay to doubt. That we want to be a safe place where you can doubt and be with us. Like, it's not like, oh, you're doubting, what's wrong with you? No, if you're doubting, this is where we need to be. It's called doubting with your friends. Doubting with someone to talk to. Doubting with a purpose to find God. Because he wasn't just doubting because he wasn't there. He was probably doubting because of he was questioning God. Like, God, how come you didn't show up for me? I know you were there for them, but what about me? Isn't that the question that we all ask? What about me? That's not a bad question when it leads us to God. When it leads us to a deeper faith. When it leads us to Jesus, which this ultimately does. And we've seen people doubt in isolation, and that never goes well. That's not going to help. I mean, it helped Elijah, but maybe that was an exception. But to doubt in community, we've seen people, their doubt leads them to lose their faith, right? That they deconstruct and they never put anything back together. I mean, it's just like a bomb went off and everything is gone, and that's because they doubt by themselves, and maybe then they're still on that journey. You know, the cool thing is that Jesus shows up and he doesn't give them a speech of how terrible he is, and he doesn't put him in timeout. He says, Thomas, come here. Come on. He doesn't even talk to the other guys. He says, Thomas, here you go. Here you go. That Jesus met him where he was. He realized that we're weak. We need to see stuff. I know it says, blessed are you who have never seen, but we've seen. We've seen miracles. I don't think we come to faith until Jesus shows up for us. We don't initiate, I'll tell you that much. He initiates with us and we just respond, like Thomas here. He responded and he was better than ever. Doubting is just maturing. When you go through something that you've never been through before and it's scary and you're freaking out, you feel like, you start doubting everything. You start questioning God. You start questioning the church. You start questioning your younger self. Like, what was I thinking 10 years ago when I got into this? But in a lot of ways, it's just us maturing and figuring out God. And God's not worried. God didn't change. He's not like, oh my gosh, it's a crisis. He's like, no, I'm good. You know, you're going to see that. I really do love you. I'm really there for you. And if we stick with it, we will be stronger. And many of you are nodding your heads because we are stronger. Because we persevered. Because we have had to find our own faith. We had to question, and it's okay to question when it leads us to Jesus. And I also, it's almost like you forget things as you go on as a Christian, then you have to be reminded of something that you learned a long time ago. Well, this is one of those things for me. You know, Jesus says, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. And so when just the acknowledgement that there are people that don't like Jesus, there are people that don't like you because you like Jesus, because you love Jesus. There's people that don't like churches because they love Jesus and because they live their lives for him. And that is what Jesus said here. Remember, that's not what we want, but that's what it is to be a disciple. That happens, that there are enemies of Christ in this world. Right? Sometimes we act like everything is on us. When there's a spiritual war that's happening around us, and yeah, it was good for me just to acknowledge that if I follow Jesus, there's going to be some people that won't like that. If I'm a person of faith and I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then not everybody's going to like that, and that's okay. And I'm not going to make them like it. I'm not going to force it down their throats. Everybody has their own choice. Amen? But on the same way, if somebody talks about your family, what do you do? If someone talks about your family, not my family, your family, do I just say, oh, cool, whatever you want, have at it? No, I'm going to be a little defensive for my family, right? I'm going to protect my family, right? I'm going to pray and try to be faithful as possible. You know, I may stand up for my family, and then I may go talk to my family afterwards and say, yeah, I heard this, man. What's going on with this situation? And we, you know, we might have a talk, right? Because my family's not perfect. You know, but it just helps us to be more unified if we have questions, to be able to ask, to be able to approach people, you know, to find out. You know, as a church, one of the other things that we've recommitted to, that we've always had, but we've recommitted that we hurt with anyone who's hurting. Yeah. Right? If you're hurting, we hurt with you. And that was Christ. Yeah. If you think about it for a minute here, people persecuted Jesus, and he was perfect. They killed him, but he was perfect, right? So he had zero responsibility, right? We're not perfect. We mess up. Our church is definitely not perfect, and we need to keep learning. We need to keep getting better. We need to acknowledge and take responsibility wherever we need to. But to recognize where some stuff comes from is that people... some don't like the church. Amen. This is a verse that really helped me recently in the past few years. Where he's talking to Peter after his good confession, and he says that I will build on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And that gives me a lot of faith that if I stick with Jesus, that his church will never die. It will never be overcome. It will never be knocked down. It will never be sideswiped, surprised. That when I stick with Jesus, I'm going to end up with Jesus and with God and with all of you. And that there's really nothing that anybody in this world and outside of this world can do about that. He said, even the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I really want to challenge myself with that and challenge us. Because I've had a lot of doubts. What's happening? What's going to happen? What's the future hold? Where is everybody? And I come back to this passage and I say, you know what? This God's church is never going to die. The only thing that's going to happen is maybe I'm not going to be here, but Jesus is not going anywhere. That we're with him. We're on the winning side. Amen, church? Amen. Getting quiet in here. We have this promise that Satan will never overcome Jesus' church. And I've had days when I'm holding on to that promise for dear life. And this isn't a promise from me as your minister. It's not a promise from anybody in our church. This is a promise directly from Jesus, which is what he said before. I will be with you to the very end of the age. That gives me a lot of faith, a lot of confidence. You know, when you worship Jesus, you can be confident. If you worship the church, you will be let down. And you will struggle and you will doubt. If you idolize the church, because the church is made up with people, you will be let down and crushed. But if you idolize and worship Jesus, he'll always be right there with you. Amen. Peace be with you. You will never have to be afraid. I love that. So many ways, that's what he was saying to Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. Maybe another way of saying, trust me, Thomas. I'm good for it. I'm going to follow through. Amen? All right, let's close out here. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I don't know if there's a bigger sentence in the Gospels for us than that. Right? If we believe in Christ, then we will be blessed. And none of us were there. None of the people, most of the people reading the book of John weren't there either. So they were putting their faith in these witnesses and their faith in their experience with God. And then he says that you, these are written that you can believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that you may have life in his name. That you can have life in this world. You can have life to the full. That you can have life with Jesus walking with you and protecting you and leading you. And yeah, there'll be suffering, but he'll still comfort you there. You can have eternal life. You can have forgiven life. You can have a life united with God and with Jesus and with his people. That's the promise and opportunity that he was giving to everyone who heard these words and to us. That life is right there. Grab onto it. Believe it. Stop doubting and believe. And continue to give yourself to the faithful words and to the risen Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray and we'll take our communion together as we celebrate this life from Christ. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you help us to go from fear to joy, that you give us peace, that you lead us from doubt to faith. Ultimately, at the end of all the roads, you lead us back to Jesus, Father. Thank you that he is so faithful, that so many ways that we run away from him, and yet he continues to show up for us. And I pray that even today as we take communion, that we can experience you, that we can experience that fellowship of forgiveness, that peace that passes understanding, that we can be reassured that you were with us to the very end. God, please get rid of our doubts and help us to continue to bring them to you and to one another. And thank you that you are so faithful to us. Thank you that we have hope because you rose from the dead. Thank you for the body and blood that you gave to us. That we may have life and life to the full. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.